Sex.
All right. Hey, Scarlets. It's me, Mary Adele, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator. I'm here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality, about pleasure, and make these conversations more joyful, liberating, and inclusive, comprehensive, so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. So thanks for tuning in, everyone. How's everyone doing today? I'm doing good. I mean, I had a great breakfast. I actually ate fruit this morning. Usually it's like a grab and go cinnamon bun or something like that, which is also a great breakfast option. But when I can fit in some fruit, I'm always like, good job, Mary. You did it. So on our last episode, we talked about orgasms and pleasure. We're going to continue that conversation today because I feel like there's lots to talk about. And maybe even in the future, we'll do another episode about it as this evolves and as we get more people submitting questions, because that's going to be the meat of this episode today, is answering some questions that came through about orgasms, about pleasure, etc. So quick recap, the feelings and thoughts and ideas around orgasming can be frustrating, can be confusing, can be exciting, and lots of other more complex feelings. And all of these are valid depending on your body, depending on your mind and your, you know, whole being, your body's abilities, its size, its shape, trauma you've experienced, any grief you're going through. The experience of orgasm is going to be different for all of us. And that's the main takeaway from these episodes, is that there's no set rules or guidelines that everyone can follow and everyone can have an orgasm or experience the same kind of pleasure. It's just not going to happen. We're all way too different. Some would even say that we bring in stuff from our ancestors, like, you know, that kind of trauma, ancestral trauma. Some people would say that, well, definitely mental health has something to do with it, and the different phases you go through with your mental health, which, as Julie says in her awesome podcast, Healthy Minds, we all have mental health. It's not just, you know, people who have diagnosed anxiety or diagnosed depression. Like, it's everyone has mental health. And so being aware of your mental health and how that changes day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, that's going to help. That awareness is going to help you tune into your sexuality as well. So a lot of us may have never experienced an orgasm before, and it might be very difficult at this time to have one for various reasons. And it's important to remember that orgasms aren't the end-all be-all of sex and sexuality. There's many ways to experience pleasure outside of an orgasm. I just want to enunciate that because I think it's, again, based on media, based on just these messages we receive, orgasming is the only way to have sex. Like, that's, you achieve sex if you achieve an orgasm, and it's not true. I will say it over and over again. It's just not true. We talked about shame around orgasm and other reasons that could be inhibiting you from experiencing orgasms, such as body image, societal oppression, mental health, again, trauma. Maybe you're still discovering and processing your sexual orientation or your gender identity, and going through that is huge. So it's going to inhibit and or just influence how you experience your sexuality and pleasure. So just having that self-awareness, again, is going to help you think about pleasure, think about different ways you could perhaps experience an orgasm. We also talked about ways to connect yourself to your body and to pleasure every single day. So I'm wondering, have you been saying that affirmation I gave you? I think it was, pleasure is my human right. Even if you don't, it's hard to like believe that or conceptualize that. That's understandable. But the only way you could believe that is if you just start, I don't always like the fake it till you make it, but sometimes that does work. If you just start saying that to yourself every day and like taking that moment to bite into something delicious and really take time to like notice it and or smell a candle that you love and be like, oh, this is pleasurable. Those little tiny moments are going to add up, and you're going to start being more embodied day to day, because just a little breeze through your hair, like something like that. It sounds so like, okay, every day we probably experience some kind of breeze through our hair, but are you like enjoying it? Because that's a moment. Start noticing, you know, spring is probably getting, well, for us on the East Coast, spring is going to start showing its face soon. So like, Do you smell spring? I smell spring sometimes. Like, that's a little moment that you can notice. All these can add up collectively, and you're going to be living a more pleasurable life. I guarantee it. You just have to believe it. You have to seek it and say whatever affirmation resonates with you. I deserve pleasure. What's going to bring me pleasure today? And then find that, whatever it may be. So that will help, orgasm or not. That's going to help you just live a more embodied life. So keep doing those things. As I said, we're going to cover a few more questions, because when I posted about this on my Instagram, I got a lot of questions submitted. And so clearly it's something that we all want to talk about, but aren't able to, maybe, or don't feel safe to talk about it, or maybe feel embarrassed, which that's okay. So that's why I'm going to answer some of these questions to get this conversation really going. And maybe it'll spark a conversation with your best friend, or maybe with your partner or partners. Maybe if you're really concerned or you really want to talk about it with someone, have them listen to this episode or my other episode so that you can then listen together and have a conversation about it. Like, that's a good way to start the conversation, right? I'm here to get it started for you. So, one question I got. I'm 30 years old and I've never had an orgasm. So, any tips for letting go? Well, I think that everything we talked about in the first episode could apply to this question. Let's look at the meat of this question. You're saying you start it with, I'm 30 years old. So, right there, it shows me that you feel shame about being a certain age and not have had an orgasm. So the first thing you're going to have to do is really work on that shame cycle, saying things to yourself like, it's okay. First of all, it's okay that you haven't. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not doing anything wrong. There's nothing to feel ashamed about. It's just, there's a lot of different reasons that this could have happened or that this is happening. And, you know, to be real, maybe you won't ever have an orgasm, and that's okay too, but I think you could. I definitely think you can. It just is going to take some work. And the first work you have to do is that self-care, building up that self-worth. And that doesn't have to have anything to do with sex and sexuality. That can just be your day-to-day. Like, how are you taking care of yourself? What are you saying to yourself in your mind? Like, what's your self-talk look like? Are you being hard on yourself constantly? Are you criticizing yourself? You've got to start noticing that. It's so, sometimes it's overwhelming, because I know, at least for me, I have days where I get to, like, I don't know, late in the day, the afternoon, and I'm like, wow, I've been just like really mean to myself all day. And like, I feel it. It's a heaviness. And I've criticized myself. I've told myself I should be doing this. I shouldn't be doing this. Those shoulds, remember, shoulds a shame word. It does nothing. It has zero productivity, because it's just, okay, you should have done something. Okay. So maybe just next time do it, and or forgive yourself. It's okay. So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, though, that self-talk. You really need to start paying attention to self-talk and doing the nice things for yourself every day. Forgiving yourself. I recently made a big mistake, and that was hard. Like, I make mistakes all the time, but not ones that affect other people typically. And I did. And that was really hard for me. I was very hard on myself. I cried a lot. And I had a hard time forgiving myself and letting myself, like, be messy, be complex. So those moments, like, are you forgiving yourself for the mistakes you make? Because I'm telling you, know this, like, I feel like it's cheesy to say it. We're all going to make mistakes. You literally cannot grow and evolve, which is what we're here to do, without making some mistakes. So those, I know that this has nothing really to do with orgasms, but I think it also has everything to do with orgasms and pleasure, because we attract pleasure, or we notice pleasure, when we're being kind to ourselves. It's those really deep moments where you get into the juiciness of pleasure, is when you're like, oh, I'm allowed to have this. This is okay for me to have. So that's kind of my first big tip, probably is going to relate to all these different questions that we have, is how are you treating yourself day to day? Because you deserve to be treated really, really well all the time. All right, but so 30 years old, never had an orgasm. Any tips for letting go? So I've talked about this before, but Emily Nagowski is an author. She's a speaker. She's an incredible person. She's got a couple of TED Talks. So if you're not a reader, check out her TED Talks. I think it's under 20 minutes, really easy watch. And she breaks down this idea of the sexual inhibition system and the sexual excitation system. I talked about this a little bit on my episode with Julie on Healthy Minds when I was a guest. But basically, we all have the brakes and the gas. That's the brakes is the sexual inhibition system and the gas is the sexual excitation system. So I'm going to say SIS and SES from now because saying all those words is hard. Anyway, okay. So this goes back to what I was saying in terms of like, what's going on in your life? Have you recently lost someone important to you? So are you grieving? Are you really stressed out? Is work kind of heavy right now? Other things, breakups. Breakups can definitely affect pleasure. Anything like that that's affecting your mental health, your thoughts, whatever you're going through in life, that heaviness in your heart, those can all potentially be breaks. Now, for some people, I don't know if y'all have read Wild by Cheryl Strayed, but this is an example of the gas. So she was grieving her mother and she sought out sexual experiences because of that. So some people react to grief or stress in ways where they want to have more sex. They want to be more sexually active. That's normal too. There's no right way. There's no only one way of being. But that's one way to kind of conceptualize, instead of thinking of this linear path we're all on where we have, you know, we're little kids and then we go through puberty, so our sex drive goes up, and then we have this high sex drive through our 20s, maybe through our 30s, and then it starts going down, and then it goes down forever, and you never have sex again. No, that is not true. In fact, I don't know if this is a true statistic anymore, and this is something that's way more complex than me just saying it out loud, but in retirement homes, there's a higher level of STIs than any other community, and that's because they're sexually active. They're seeking out sexual partners. They're doing their thing. And like, that's a whole conversation for safe sex practices and such and the failure of our sex education system. But that's okay. That's another day. But that's just to show you that as we grow older, we're going to go through phases. Yeah, there's going to be times where you're not into it. And maybe there's a long time where you're not feeling it or it's not happening for you. And that's okay. It'll probably go back up eventually. It most likely will. I think the question here, though, it sounds more like you could potentially be getting in your head during sex, and that might be what's inhibiting you from having an orgasm. And so I want to say to everyone, particularly women and femmes, because I know that this is more common for women and femmes, a lot of times people will be having sex and they're not into it anymore, but they're like, let's just keep going because let's just get this done. They're clearly enjoying it and I want them to be able to have their sexual experience. No, your comfort. I saw this on Instagram yesterday. Your comfort is way more important than being polite. So you've got to speak up in those moments when you're having sex and you're not digging it anymore, or you're in your head and you're not present. And it's okay if like a fleeting thought comes in while you're having sex. I'm not saying stop immediately. I'm just saying like if you're having sex and it's been like a, you know, some moments of just like not enjoying it anymore or you're stressing out about something, I encourage you to stop in that moment. And it's okay to stop. Your partner, if they're an understanding, good person, should stop. They need to stop. You know, they need to respect what you want too. So in those moments when you do stop, then take some time to cuddle if you want, or give each other a massage, or do something that's still intimate and keeps you in that moment of intimacy, to use the word again. But you don't have to keep having whatever kind of sex you were having. And I think the more you do something like that, you listen to yourself and say, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, and then you don't do it anymore, you're giving yourself the signal of, I'm worth that. Like, it is okay for me to do this because this feels right for me. And that's part of that self-care, self-worth work that we do And it all is this organic cycle. If you're doing that for yourself, most likely, then you're going to be experiencing more pleasure in and outside of, quotations, the bedroom or wherever you're having sex. So yeah, I think that is all I want to say about that. I do have more recommendations later on in terms of like play and like different tools you can use to maybe help with finding points of pleasure in your genitals or outside, like any part of your body, your more erogenous zones. Okay. Another question I got was, I orgasm rarely. How do I bring that up with new potential partners? This is a loaded question because I have follow-up questions to this question. Like, is something going on? Do you think it's because of mental health, because of trauma? Do you think it's because of identity, etc.? So we'd have to dig a little deeper, honestly. But in terms of that communication part, with how do you bring something up that feels maybe uncomfortable or really vulnerable to potential partners, especially if it's more of a casual partner and not someone that you're in a relationship with? Yeah, that's tricky. I mean, it takes that, you gotta start getting vulnerable and opening yourself up to vulnerability is risky. It's scary. But I think that it's important and that ultimately you will never regret being vulnerable, even if it hurts you, because if it hurts you, then you learn something about yourself. You learn something about that other person. You learn maybe they're not right for you as a friend, as a sexual partner, etc. And those lessons suck, but they're pretty imperative for your growth. Another plug for growth. That's the only way we're going to grow, is if we make mistakes and get vulnerable. So I would just say, I would bring it up outside of like having sex. So like, if you're just about to like engage in sexual activity, that's not the time to bring something like that up, because it's just too much is on the table at that point. And you probably are feeling already a little anxious or nervous, as is the partner you're engaging with. So I recommend bringing it up at a different time. I remember I needed to say something really vulnerable I'll just say it. So I've talked about this before, but I have vaginismus for a long time, and I still have it, but it's definitely not as bad as it was. And vaginismus is when all the muscles in your pelvic floor are so, so tight that it makes insertion really hard of anything. So I had to bring that up to a partner one time. And I don't know if this is the right place to do it. Again, like, this is just my experience, but we were at a bar and it was just us two. We were sitting at the bar. We had had like two beers probably at that point. So I was feeling a little of that liquid courage. And that's when I brought it up. I was like, hey, I need to tell you something. This is something that I've gone through. And so it does affect, you know, how I engage with partners, and it's who I am. That was not an easy conversation. I'm very, you know, I'm fortunate, but also I deserve the grace that the partner gave me. And they listened and they asked a couple more questions and they said, okay, that's cool. We'll work around it or we'll figure it out. And that's absolutely what you deserve too. So I hope that in bringing up something, you know, like, you don't orgasm usually, like, you receive that affirmation that you deserve. And if you don't receive it, then you know that person really doesn't deserve to be in your company. But bring it up, like, definitely bring it up when it's just you two, maybe in an intimate setting of like cuddling on a couch or when you're having already a deep conversation, and just be like, hey, I got to tell you something, and it's something that makes me feel really vulnerable. Give yourself that disclaimer so that that person knows to like hold space for you and to take care of you, and put yourself out there and just know that you're not alone in being vulnerable. And I see you. I hear you. Everything you've experienced is valid, and you get to express it any way you want. But I would recommend it in like just a one-on-one setting, and if you drink alcohol, it doesn't hurt if you're of age and you enjoy drinking alcohol. If you have a couple drinks, I think it makes it a little bit easier, but definitely not necessary. In fact, it's probably braver to do it without alcohol. So go you. Okay. The other question I have for this morning or this episode is, when past trauma has made orgasming painful, what are some ways to move past that? This is another really loaded question, a great question. I would want to ask some follow-up questions. Like, I'm wondering, what is painful? Like, is it muscular, do you think? Is it a sharp pain? Yeah, I don't know what kind of pain you're experiencing. I would, you know, assume that maybe you've gotten it checked out by a professional. Make sure you're doing your research on gynecologists. You want to find someone who has a bio that you know you could talk to them. It's hard to know. But there are some really, really great practitioners in at least around me in Frederick and Baltimore. Maybe that's something I can provide in a description in terms of like where to how to find someone who will listen to you and take care of you and make sure that they are asking the right questions. A lot of times gynecologists don't even think to ask about pleasure and only go straight for, you know, anatomy, clinical, reproduction. So it might be a physical therapist then. I don't know. Again, it depends on your pain, but there's pelvic floor physical therapists who at least could answer some questions for you. So definitely get it checked out if you haven't yet. And maybe you have, and if you've, you know, felt frustrated by that, I'm sorry. I feel you. I know that can be really harrowing, trying to describe pain and someone not understanding or affirming the pain that you're experiencing. So I hope that's not happening. If it is, I'm really sorry. And I hope that you can find someone, you know, who can help you or take care of you. Some ways to move past that, though. So step one, getting it checked out. Step two, so then trauma, I would also assume that you've probably been seeing a therapist. And there's lots of different kinds of therapists out there. I know I've talked about this before, but there's the somatic experiencing therapy. I've done a couple of sessions with a great practitioner. And what that therapy is about is kind of looking at the trauma and how it's existing in your body and how to trust your body again, because we become so isolated from our bodies. We get so wrapped up in the mind and thoughts that we don't realize a lot of times how much our body is talking to us and telling us things. And it's hard to decipher that too. Like, okay, I'm feeling pain. What the heck is my body trying to tell me? I don't know. And so that's why seeing someone who is professionally trained in like somatic experiencing or embodiment of some sort. There's like dancing, I know. There's like dance classes you can take that kind of speak to that moving through trauma. If you like to dance, you just have to get on that Google machine and do some research. But I definitely know of some really awesome somatic experiencing trauma therapists in the state of Maryland, at least. So that's an option for you in terms of working through that trauma. Maybe trying instead of talk therapy, which obviously is brilliant and wonderful and important, but you might try a different kind of therapy from there. I know there's one that's like EMDR or EDMR. That's another one where you're going back through trauma in a really safe space to like, I don't know. I probably shouldn't try to describe it because I don't know exactly what it is, but I've heard people really resonate with it, especially in terms of their trauma. So taking care of yourself in that way. Maybe you're already doing that. If so, awesome. But like in the moment, I guess, like if you're having really great sex of any kind and you know an orgasm's coming and you start getting scared, like, oh, is this gonna hurt? Yeah, that's hard because then it inhibits you in all ways. You kind of put the brakes on, right? So, I'm trying to think, like in the moment, while you're with your partner, I don't know. I think it's going to take some work ahead of time, honestly, so that you can get to that place where you trust that the pain's not going to necessarily come. And this is a whole nother podcast, but looking into BDSM and like kinky stuff where it's, you know, they kind of look at pain as they look at working through pain as pleasure. Like, I don't want to give this advice because I'm not a professional, or I'm kink friendly, but I'm not a kink professional. Like, I can't really advise too much on it, but looking into some of those communities might help, especially because a lot of times, you know, just talking to people about different kinds of pleasure and figuring out like, but it sounds like you're actually experiencing pain. So if that, I know you are experiencing pain. So I don't know if that's the right avenue for you in that case. But that might be a moment when you know the pain is happening, just to stop in that moment and reconnect and cuddle and feel intimacy in different ways of like more comfort rather than just like that explosion of pleasure. So I honestly think for that question, though, it's more about the work you do outside of sexual experiences, like the therapy you seek out, maybe different kinds of therapy, and different kinds of practitioners. Like, that's really going to probably help with the painful orgasm. And I'll do some more research on it and talk about it in a later episode, so that we can really dig into some things you can actually do while you're in the moment of experiencing pleasure to make sure that you aren't feeling this pain anymore, or like you can move past the pain. So those are some answers to some questions. I also want to do some plugs for tools. Lube is your friend. There's just like the kind of age myth that, you know, our sex drive goes down as we get older. There's this myth that you have to be lubricated all the time, and if you're not, you're dried up and useless. Like, that's an awful myth. I don't like that exists. A lot of people need to use lube. That can be at early ages that you need it. Embrace it. It is your friend. And get a water-based lube. That's kind of the one that everyone, it seems to resonate with all bodies. But definitely get some lube. Because dryness can definitely affect how you're experiencing pleasure. And it's another one of those things, like, if you're dry and like you're having sex and it's hurting because of the dryness, that's when you know, like, okay, let's get some lube, because you're still in the moment, you still want to have sex. Lube is your friend. Get some lube. There's no shame in lube. Toys. We've talked about toys before, looking at like the magic wand or different vibrators or whatever. Play with toys with a partner. Like, it can be really fun. We'll talk more about this later because I'm getting close to time here. But there's a lot to talk about with sex toys. Okay, so before we wrap up, we're going to do our pause for pleasure segment as always. I give a shout out to something in life that is giving me pleasure recently, and that is black nail polish. I did not have any nail polish on for a very long time, and then I put some on. I was like, wow, this is fun. So I would encourage you, whatever your gender, to do something playful with your wardrobe or with your presentation of yourself. It's winter. It's cold. All I want to wear are just big sweatshirts and sweatpants, and that's fine. But like, it's fun to remind yourself that there is like color. Well, I know I have black nail polish, but you know what I mean? Like, there's ways you can put on, like, I don't know, a hat that you love or earrings that you love or whatever it is, a pair of bright colored sneakers. Make sure you're like introducing color and or decor to yourself during these really cold months where you just want to be huddled up in bed all day. Where to find me? I'm at Mary Adele underscore sex educator on Instagram. That's two L's in Adele. My website's www.maryadele.com. Make sure to follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and check out all the other awesome podcasts on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. Don't forget to comment, rate, and share. And thank you so much, Scarlett, for joining me for another great conversation about orgasms. Tune in soon for a new episode. I have some really exciting guests coming this spring, so look forward to that. Funny guests, really knowledgeable guests, just all kinds of great people are going to be on and sharing some of their experiences. And don't forget to pay attention and seek pleasure. Do it. You deserve it. Thanks, Scarlett. Have a great week.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.